Welcome to the Golden Age of Comic Books. It is November 7th, 2005, and this is the Golden Age of Comic Books. Welcome, everybody, to the show. This is Bill Jourdain, your host, and we're very glad you're here this week. We've got a couple of things to talk about for our November 7th, 23rd installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books. We're going to first talk about a new book that's available. Actually, not quite that new, but it's been out a few months. That chronicles the history of the Golden Age of comic books. And then we're going to turn our attention today to the Golden Age Blackhawk and his origins and the effect that he had on the readers of the Golden Age of comic books. So let's first turn our attention this week to a book that came out a few months ago that I have been told about by several listeners to the Golden Age of comic books. I believe Bruce over at Comics Cast, that's Comics with a K and Cast with a K, has talked about this book before. And by the way, if you haven't listened to Bruce's podcast, Comic Cast, I would suggest that you go over and check it out. You can download it from iTunes, or you can go to Bruce's website, comiccast.libsyn.com. And he's got a great show every week or so where he talks about all things related to comic books. So check out Bruce's podcast, and you'll learn a little bit about this book that I'm going to talk about in just a second. Also, as I've mentioned before, check out Chris's podcast, the Collected Comics Library podcast. Every week, Chris has some great information about archive editions, trades, and archives, and other books such as Masterworks, DVD sets, all kinds of stuff that are coming out or that are going to be coming out. Just a great resource if you want to hear about some great new books that are on the horizon regarding comics and comic-related issues. So check out Chris's podcast as well. That's the Collected Comics Library podcast. Well, the book I wanted to talk about today is called Men of Tomorrow, and it was written by a gentleman named Gerard Jones. This book was published in late 2004 or possibly early 2005 by Basic Books. This is a really fantastic resource. As I said a few minutes ago, I had not heard about this book until Bruce sent me an email and mentioned it to me and told me that someone interested in the Golden Age of comic books certainly ought to listen out for this book and check it out. And so I went over to Amazon.com and I got this book, the hardbound version, for about $8 and then another $3 for shipping. So it wasn't real expensive, but it's just a great book. I'm not through reading it yet, but it starts out even before comic books even got their start. It starts out in the early 1900s, actually some of it in the late 1800s, and it talks about those individuals who were most responsible for the creation of comic books and then ultimately the creation of Superman that signaled the beginning of the Golden Age of comic books. Talks about the Donenfelds, it talks about J.A. Siegel and Joe Shuster, Jack Liebowitz, and many other individuals who were responsible for the early creation of comic books that came first from the pulp magazines and other magazines that they published, and then ultimately began the comic book craze. This book is well-researched and well-written. It also has quite a few photographs in it of some of the pioneers of the comic book industry. And so if you're interested in learning about the origins, the real origins of the Golden Age of comic books and comic books generally, then I would suggest that you get a copy of Men of Tomorrow. Actually, the full title of the book is Men of Tomorrow, Geeks, Gangsters, and the Birth of the Comic Book by Gerard Jones. As I said, it's just a wonderful resource, a lot of detail in the early part of the book about how the printing trade in New York was controlled in many aspects by the mob way back then, and how that ultimately led into the publication of comic books. So lots of dark secrets are revealed about the origins of the comic book industry and how they progressed from the very, very early days in New York. So if you're interested in not just learning about the superheroes or the other characters that we focused upon and talked about in the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast, and you're interested in learning a little bit more about those men and women who brought us the Golden Age of comic books check out Men of Tomorrow by Gerard Jones, and I think you will find it very, very interesting and very enlightening about the origin of the comic book industry. Okay, well, let's turn our attention this week to a character who was very, very well known in the Golden Age of comics and who continued on throughout the Golden Age and on into the Silver Age of comics. Not just one character, actually, but a team. And that team was led by Blackhawk, who was the namesake of one of their titles in which they appeared, and the leader of the team that appeared throughout the Golden Age of comics. Now, just what or who is Blackhawk? Well, Blackhawk was a military man. He was a pilot who flew during World War II, and not for any particular country, but Blackhawk actually flew his team into battle, fighting oppression and evil, but more or less as vigilantes. They had their own island and their own base of operations, and they flew for truth and justice, but not for any particular cause or country. So how did the Blackhawks get their start? Well, they got their start in the Golden Age of comics in August of 1941 with the publication of Military Comics No. 1. That title was published by Quality Comics Group, and that title continued on being published by Quality on into the late 1950, the year 1950. Now, it didn't continue as Military Comics during that entire time. Military Comics was the title of the book, starting with number 1 in August of 41. That title continued until issue number 43 in October of 1945, and then the title changed to Modern Comics with issue number 44, and it continued with Blackhawk making the appearance in Modern Comics until the series ended with issue number 102 in October of 1950. So, just who was the Blackhawk, or the Blackhawks, and how did they get their appearance? Well, that can be found in the origin story in Military Comics No. 1. Interestingly, the series, for some period of time, was drawn by Chuck Cadera, but it was written by Will Eisner of the Spirit fame. And so, in looking at the Blackhawk stories that appear, the early Blackhawk stories in Military Comics, you'll get to see the writing of Will Eisner along with the artistic endeavors of Chuck Cadera. Now, Cadera didn't continue on the series forever, and the artistic chores were later on assumed by Reed Crandall, who, of course, was of EC Comics fame later on. Crandall did the artistic chores on the Blackhawk series and Military Comics from issues 12 through number 22. So let's go back to Military Comics No. 1 that appeared in August of 1941 and talk about the origin of the Blackhawk. And the story begins with fighting between the Nazi army and the Polish army in Poland in 1931. And the story shows the invasion of Poland by the Nazis and the destruction of that country by the fast-moving Blitzkrieg of the Nazi army. And as the story progresses, a military advisor is talking to the Nazi captain or commander, whose name is Von Tepp, and Von Tepp is told that the efforts of invading Poland are going well, except for the resistance of the Polish Air Force, and that they were meeting some very stiff resistance from that group. And so Von Tepp decides that he will take his own squadron into battle against the remnants of the Polish Air Force. And his flying squadron goes into the air to take on the Polish squadron. The Nazi squadron is called the famous Butcher Squadron. And so the battle begins to rage over the skies of Poland. And one by one, the Polish planes are destroyed by the overwhelming force of the Nazi Butcher Squadron. But there's one plane being captained by one of the Polish airmen who is not so quickly defeated by the Nazi Air Force. And throughout the course of the battle, that is raging over the skies of Poland. The one lone Polish airman is taking out one by one many of the Nazi airplanes. But unfortunately, the overwhelming force and numbers of the Nazi aircraft finally overcome the lone Polish airman, and he is forced to crash his plane into the ground. And as he escapes the burning wreckage of his plane, the Polish airman is pursued by Von Tepp, who is still piloting his own plane, and Von Tepp attempts to kill the Polish airman with a bomb by dropping a bomb on a farmhouse that the Polish airman is running into. The bomb misses the Polish airman, but it hits the farmhouse, and as the Polish airman races inside of the blown-up farmhouse, he finds two people inside, a woman who is dead and a man who is dying. And he takes the man in his arms, and you realize that the man and the woman were the brother and sister of the Polish airman. And as the young man who was in the farmhouse when the bomb hit is dying in the arms of the Polish airman, he tells his brother, I'm going to die, but you need to get that Nazi who has killed us." And he dies in his brother's arms, and the Polish airman, who is standing there more or less in rags from having survived his own plane crash, says he swears that he will get Von Tepp, who has killed his brother and his sister. And so he buries them and disappears without a backward glance, and he has gone into the darkness. And then the story continues many months later, where the Nazi war machine continues to crush all of Europe. But then the story says that a new name has appeared that is striking terror into the hearts of the Nazis, and that name is Black Hawk. And the story says that Black Hawk, like an angel of vengeance, is swooping down from the skies to wreak vengeance and death upon the Nazis who are attempting to completely take over Europe. And then, as the story goes, the mysterious man named Black Hawk appears time and time again attempting to locate Von Tepp, who has more or less gone into hiding at this point. And finally, we find Von Tepp in a Nazi stronghold, a fortress, where he has some prisoners, two of Black Hawk's men and an English nurse. And he decides that he is going to have all of them stand before the firing squad. And as they are getting ready to kill these three individuals, these two members of Black Hawk's forces and this nurse, you hear coming from over the wall a song. And the song goes, "Over land, over sea, we fight to make men free. Of danger we don't care, we're Blackhawks." And the song has become well known because that is the song of the Blackhawks that, along with their appearance, strikes fear into the hearts of their enemies. And so, as the Nazis who are in the firing squad yell out the song of the Blackhawks, Black Hawk walks through the gate of the Nazi stronghold and says, "Did someone mention my name?" And Von Tepp turns and says, "Black Hawk." And Black Hawk tells him that he will be his prisoner and he's going to take them all into his custody. And as Von Tepp mocks him and tells him, "How can you possibly think you can do that here in my fortress?" The truth is known, and Black Hawk's men completely surround the fortress. And of course, his men are wearing their familiar black leather uniforms with their gold hawk seal. And a fight ensues, and as after the fight has been completed and the Black Hawk and his men have won the fight, Von Tepp and some of his men are taken to the Black Hawk stronghold. Well, just where is that? Well, we know that after these men are captured, the Black Hawks in their planes fly for many, many hours to the east to a tiny island. And as they land in this island, there's a small drawing of the island in this first story about the Blackhawks, and it shows that the Blackhawks have their own secret base on this island, complete with an anchorage for fleets, elevators, harbors, disappearing forts, barracks, airports, lighthouses, signal towers, even a shed for a Zeppelin. And Blackhawk points out to those there with him that they're that their fortress, their island, is very well protected with anti-aircraft guns and other devices. And so Black Hawk decides that he must now have his revenge on Von Tepp. And so he gives Von Tepp the choice of any airplane to fly in battle in the skies over Black Hawk Island against Black Hawk. And after Von Tepp chooses his plane, but for a moment while Black Hawk is not paying attention, he's talking to one of his men. Von Tepp quickly reaches over while Black Hawk is distracted and disconnects Black Hawk's fuel line from his engine. And so the two men proceed into battle over the skies of Black Hawk Island. And of course, as they engage in their dogfight, Black Hawk's plane suddenly loses its engine due to the sabotage by Von Tepp. And Black Hawk sees no other way to defeat Von Tepp other than to do a roll into the plane of Von Tepp. And he does that. He does a loop right over into the top of Von Tepp's plane, and both men come crashing to the ground. And in the last page of this origin story of Black Hawk, you see only one man emerge from the wreckage of the two planes. And it's not Black Hawk, it's actually Von Tepp, and you believe for a moment that perhaps Von Tepp has survived the battle and Black Hawk has perished. But that's not to be, and Black Hawk steps from the wreckage and tells Von Tepp that he has not won. The two men pull handguns and have a quick draw, if you will, and Black Hawk is victorious and kills Von Tepp. And, of course, Black Hawk is very, very badly wounded, and the English nurse who was in the firing squad who they had taken to Black Hawk Island takes Black Hawk back and tends to his wounds, and he recovers, and the story ends. And that is the end of the first story of the Black Hawk, as shown in Military Comics number 1. Now, I mentioned earlier that Black Hawk was not really affiliated with any particular country or any particular cause other than fighting for truth and justice. Of course, in his origin story, you're led to believe that he was a member of the Polish Air Force because that's who he was flying for in that very first part of that story, but it's later revealed throughout the Golden Age of comics that Black Hawk may have been an American, but it's never really clearly indicated exactly what his origin was. In fact, Black Hawk's real name is never revealed in any of the Golden Age Black Hawk stories, at least that I'm aware of. So Black Hawk was sort of a mysterious character, very much like the Spirit, but in a military sense. The Spirit was a detective who was always able to win in any fight, and very tough, and all of those things. And Black Hawk was exactly the same way. In fact, there's a lot of the Eisner influence that you can see in the stories of the Black Hawk that are contained in Military Comics. Black Hawk did sort of indicate in Military Comics number 2 exactly what his cause was, and in that issue he says, "The Black Hawks are the last of the free men of the conquered countries. We fight for the freedom of men rather than for profit or politics." So again, you can see from those words of the Black Hawk in Military Comics number 2 exactly what he was fighting for and what his cause was. So just who were the Black Hawks, the members of the team? Well, I've talked about Black Hawk himself quite a bit. There were other members who became regulars in the Black Hawks, other than Black Hawk himself. One was André, who was a Frenchman. Another was Olaf, who was from Sweden. And there was Chuck, who was a Texas-born American. Then you had the Dutchman, his name was Hendrickson. And you had a Polish member of the group, his name was Stanislaw. And then one of the most interesting and probably one of the most racially stereotypical of the characters that appeared in the Black Hawk comics during the Golden Age of comics was Chop Chop, a Chinese individual who made his first appearance in the pages of Military Comics number 3, and who was a regular from that point forward. Again, a very stereotypical, from a racial standpoint, character that you would see in the comics of the Golden Age, and which you won't see in the comics of the modern age for sure. And then there was a Lady Blackhawk character. She didn't appear until 1959 in the pages of Military Comics. Blackhawk Comics number 133. Now, Blackhawk did not just appear in the pages of Military Comics and Modern Comics. Blackhawk, ultimately, as so many characters did, got his own title. As I mentioned earlier, Military Comics became Modern Comics, and Blackhawk appeared in both titles until October of 1950. But in the winter of 1944, with the publication of Blackhawk number 9, Blackhawk got his own title. Now, what happened to issues 1 through 8? Well, that was actually a title called Uncle Sam that appeared by Quality with issues 1 through 8, and that title was changed to give Blackhawk his own title, starting with issue number 9 in the winter of 1944. Interestingly, though, the 1944 appearance of Blackhawk number 9 was the only appearance of that character in his own title in 1944 or in 1945. And it wasn't until the spring of 1946 that issue number 10 of Blackhawk hit the stands. And then after issue number 10 made its first appearance in 1946 in the spring, issue number 11 hit the stands in the summer of 46, and the book was a quarterly book from issue number 10 through issue number 18. And then issues 19 through 32 were bi-monthly issues, and then Blackhawk became a monthly, starting coincidentally with issue number 33 in October of 1950. October of 1950, as I mentioned a few minutes ago, was the date that Modern Comics ceased publication. And so Blackhawk began monthly appearances in the Quality published Blackhawk comics after they ceased publishing Modern Comics during the same month, October of 1950. Now, Blackhawk comics appeared monthly as published by Quality Comics until issue number 107 in December of 1956, and at that time, Quality ceased publishing comics, and DC took over publishing Blackhawk. And with issue number 108, the January 1957 issue, Blackhawk became a DC Comics character at that time. And DC continued that series all the way through issue number 243, which was the October-November 1968 issue, and Blackhawk has been published intermittently since that time, but the original Blackhawk run was over in 1968. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago that Blackhawk had his own island, and if you're interested in really learning about the details of Blackhawk Island, check out Military Comics number 4, and in that issue at the end of the Blackhawk story, there was a very, very detailed map drawn of Blackhawk Island showing all of the features of the island, the anti-aircraft guns and the hangars and the docks for the fleet and the whole nine yards. So if you're interested in really learning about the nitty-gritty of Blackhawk Island, the very first detailed map appeared in the issue Military Comics number 4. Also, on that same map, they show about where Blackhawk Island was located, and it's out in the middle of the North Atlantic, below Greenland and Iceland, and probably about halfway in between Canada and England. So in the North Atlantic out there where it is very cold and very inhospitable, that's where Blackhawk Island was located. Now, I mentioned a few minutes ago that the Blackhawks had their own song, and I read the words from the initial song to you. If you're interested in learning the complete Blackhawk song, you can check out Military Comics number 8 at the end of the Blackhawk story. Now, I'm not about to sing this song for you. I don't sing. I don't even sing in the shower. So don't think this is going to become a musical podcast and then I'm going to sing the Blackhawk song for you. I'm not going to do that. But the song is by Richard French, and it's on the back of the Blackhawk story in Military number 8. And it starts out, "Haka, we are Blackhawks. Haka, we're on the wing, over land, over sea. We will fight to make men free, and to every nation liberty we'll bring. Haka, follow the Blackhawks. Haka, shatter your chains. Seven fearless men are we. Give us death or liberty. We are the Blackhawks. Remember our name. And so that song was the motivating force behind the Blackhawks all throughout their golden age of comic books appearances. Now, if you want to read the words to that song for yourself, or if you want to see the detailed map of Blackhawk Island for yourself, or read any of these early military comic stories for yourself, you're in luck. DC Comics has, as they have done, thankfully, for those fans of the Golden Age of Comics, have created an archive of the Blackhawks. The Blackhawk Archive Volume 1 was published by DC in 2001. It has a nice introduction by Mark Evanier, who has, by the way, a great website if you're interested in looking at more esoteric comic book information and other great information about comic books. Mark did the foreword to the 2001 Volume 1 of the Blackhawk Archives. In fact, it indicates here that Mark actually wrote the Blackhawk comic book from 1982 that was published until 1984. I'm not sure if there have been other Blackhawk archive editions that have been published. I know, again, as I mentioned earlier in the show today, Chris over at the Collected Comics Library podcast probably has a better handle on that than I do. But I do know that archive number one of the Blackhawk archive was published in 2001, and it contains the Blackhawk stories from Military Comics 1 through 17. So hopefully Chris can enlighten us about maybe some other Blackhawk archives that have been put out by DC over the last few years. And I'm sure there have been other sources out there for reprints of Blackhawk stories, either from the Blackhawk comic book or Military Comics or Modern Comics. Now, if you're interested in learning about some of the stories in which Blackhawk appeared, of course, you can go to the Grand Comic Book Database Project website at comics.org. I was checking that out a little while ago, and just about all of the covers from Military Comics and Modern Comics are there. All of the Blackhawk covers are there from the very earliest issue all the way through the end of the initial DC Comics run, and then some of the other DC Comics runs as well. So if you want to learn about the story titles and a little bit about the stories that appeared in those comics, the Grand Comic Book Database Project website at comics.org is a wonderful place to go to look for that. Well, in concluding our feature about Blackhawk, I would love to have an audio recording that I could play for you of the song that I read to you a few minutes ago, but alas, I don't have that. So again, I won't try to sing it, but hopefully I've spurred you on in your interest of Blackhawk a little bit so that you'll go out and at least pick up the first DC Archive edition of the Blackhawk, and you can learn a little bit more about this truly great Golden Age character. All right, well, that's going to do it for the 23rd installment of the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast for November 7th, 2005. I appreciate everybody tuning in this week, and I appreciate all of the votes we've gotten over at Podcast Alley for the first 7 days of the month. As always, I would appreciate you taking a visit to the Podcast Alley website if you haven't already done it this month. All you got to do is go over there and look up the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast. Click on the vote button. They'll send you an email. You click on the link in the email and your vote will be cast. And if you haven't already voted in November for the Golden Age of Comic Books podcast, I would appreciate you doing that. And as always, your vote is greatly appreciated. I also have enjoyed getting the emails that I've received at our email address, goldenagecomics@gmail.com. Please keep those emails coming. I love to respond to questions about the Golden Age of Comic Books. And for those of you that have asked questions that we haven't gotten around to answering yet on the show, I fully intend to do that when I can find the time to do a little bit of extra research in order to get those answers out there on the podcast. Also, please visit our blog page at goldenagecomics.libsyn.com. That's where you can post comments that can be read by everybody who is interested in the Golden Age of Comic Books and the topics that we have covered on the podcast. If you're an expert on a particular topic that we've covered on the Golden Age of Comic Books, please list your comment there. I certainly have appreciated the comments we have received recently, and I always welcome more interesting discussion about Golden Age comic books. So I hope you've enjoyed learning a little bit about this wonderful new book called The Men of Tomorrow. Check it out if you're interested in learning a little bit about the history of the formation of the comic book industry. It's just a fascinating view by Gerard Jones about this wonderful medium that all of us seem to enjoy so much. And also, I hope you've learned a little bit about the Golden Age Blackhawk. I hope you've enjoyed learning that. And if you're interested in Blackhawk, check out the DC Archives edition about that particular character. So have a good week, everybody. Go out there and read some Golden Age comic books. And I look forward to talking to everybody about Golden Age comic books in our show next week.